That half cadence, it's once again podcast time. Got a lot to cover today. I'm going to start by just saying that I have received your quizzes, and I will be posting a review of that, one of those video walkthroughs, and also returning those to you as soon as I can get them graded. So stay tuned for that. Today's topic is period structure and form as process. We're going to be starting on page 379 in the Lates text. Let's take a look at example 15.1. This is our typical antecedent consequent construction. I've talked about this from time to time when we talk about how phrases are put together into larger structures. So let's look again, starting in the key of E flat on one, arriving at a half cadence, and then we start the second phrase back on the tonic. Authentic cadence. Look at the first indented paragraph on page 379 under the heading Form as Process. It says, throughout the tonal era and beyond, composers have relied on the pattern of, and this is what's important here, the pattern of incompleteness followed by completeness. Because a sense of incompleteness is crucial to the large-scale organization of tonal music, composers often avoid harmonically closed four-bar units. Instead, they rely on multiple four- or eight-bar phrases that hinge on one another. So the important thing here is that the end of the first phrase, by ending with a half cadence, you've started established E-flat. When you end away from the tonic, that's called being harmonically open. If you leave a phrase open, what does it do? Well, it creates a sense that there's still more to come. And so that's the crucial thing, that you're calling on a listener's expectation that something that has left incomplete will, in the future, be completed. A pattern of incomplete followed by complete. So ending with a half cadence, and then eventually getting back to the tonic and completing the harmonic motion. The most important line on this page 379 is the next to last sentence on that page. It says, when a weakly conclusive phrase pairs with a stronger, more conclusive phrase, we call the resulting unit a period. So a period is two phrases that have some sort of connection to each other. They're generally related melodically in some way, but related musically to be sure. So two phrases that are related musically, and the second one ends more conclusively than the first. If we look at page 380, two phrases make a period only when they are related to each other musically. That's the first condition. And the second phrase ends with a strong authentic cadence. That's the second condition. So our typical antecedent construction is an example of a period structure.
I should have said the typical antecedent consequent structure is an example of a period.
Now we're going to go into a discussion of several different, four different types of period structure, depending on how the melodic and harmonic organization plays out. I just want to make sure, in case I didn't already, when you close a phrase away from the tonic, we call that harmonically open. And when you close a phrase on the tonic, you call that harmonically closed. The strongest way to close a harmonic structure would be to end with a perfect authentic cadence. The second strongest way would be with an imperfect authentic cadence. Or maybe you have me or sol in the tonic, in the soprano rather than do in the soprano, which is the perfect authentic cadence. Okay, let's listen first to example 15.2 A and B.
15.2 A. B.
The key questions to ask as we look at the formal structure of these periods are found there on page 380. Under the where the heading is Aspects of Melody and Harmony in Periods. So question one, do the two phrases in each period have melodies that resemble one another? If so, in what ways? Number two, locate and compare cadences. And then we can take a look at the second level as well. So let's take a look at example 15.2a. So we see first phrase with a half cadence, so harmonically open. Ending the second phrase with an authentic cadence, an imperfect authentic cadence, so harmonically closed. What can we tell about the melodic construction? So the first phrase, the melody begins like that. The second phrase, so it starts out exactly like the first phrase. We can see that really the second phrase is just kind of a restatement of the first phrase with a little bit of change to accommodate the different cadences at the end. When two phrases make a period, and the second one, first of all, how do we know that this is a period? Well, there's some type of musical relationship, which is obvious, and the second phrase ends more conclusively because it's an authentic cadence, whereas the first phrase ended with a half cadence. Now, when we compare the two phrases of this period, and we see that melodically they're very, very similar. All of that would be the same, no matter if it's first phrase or second phrase. When they're similar like that, we call that a parallel period, a parallel period. If you look at where it says comparisons and then contrasts here, in bold print, there is the introduction of the term a parallel period. So parallel period is where there's a very close connection between the melody in the first phrase and the melody in the second phrase. That's obviously the case here in example 15.2a. 15.2b is a little different. First of all, what about the harmonic structure? Again, starting on B flat. Again, we end the first phrase with a half cadence. We end the second phrase with a perfect authentic cadence. dough on the top there. And so again, it's a period related musically, and the second phrase concludes more strongly than the first. But in this case, there's a more tenuous connection between the melodies. That's how the first phrase opens, and the second phrase opens. So there's a little bit of a connection in this turn figure. But one seems to be moving up, the other one seems to be moving down. There's not as clear a connection, certainly a much looser connection between the melodic structures in these two phrases compared with in the Mozart example in A, where they were virtually identical for the first three bars. When the first phrase and second phrase are fairly different from each other melodically, we call that a contrasting period. A contrasting period. Again, you can look where it says contrasts melodic on page 380 there. And so we have the difference between an example A, where the two phrases began and in fact continued identical, not just similar, but identical. We call that a parallel period. In B, where the second phrase is different from the first phrase, we call that a contrasting period. So those are the two basic kinds of periods in terms of melodic structure. Now let's investigate what happens harmonically. In the first phrase of, in the first example, 15.2a, we end with a half cadence, as we already said. And so our harmonic motion has gone from tonic to dominant. Then when we start the second phrase, it's almost like it rewinds back to the beginning, or it interrupts the phrase model. The phrase model is tonic, sometimes predominant, dominant. But then here, now it's going to rewind back to the opening tonic to start again. Make sure that you understand, and this is a tricky concept at first, it'll become more clear the more of these you do, that when you move from the five chord at the end of the first phrase of this Mozart example, that five chord to the beginning of the second phrase, that's not what we would consider a resolution. And the reason is that the beginning of the second system here, or beginning of measure five, is a beginning. It's not a conclusion. When we think of a resolution, we think of the end of a phrase. Here, it's like you went from one to five, you had a half cadence, and then you have, in fact, we use the term interruption, harmonic interruption. The phrase model is interrupted. We rewind back to the beginning, we start the phrase all over again. Finally, complete it. Down at the bottom of page 380, it says here, a pair of phrases with this related harmonic structure creates an interrupted period. That's when the first phrase ends with a half cadence, and then the second phrase starts all over again with the tonic and interrupts the tonal motion of the phrase model. It says, bottom of 380 going to 381. We indicate the interrupted motion with a double slash. Note that Mozart's half cadence does not resolve, this is what I was getting at earlier, does not resolve to the tonic that begins the second phrase. The dominant at the end of the first phrase is what's called a back-relating dominant. Only in this sense it means that that's the end of the phrase and refers back to the beginning. If you turn the page to 382, we see the overall analysis of this period, where it says Mozart, parallel interrupted period. So we say that because of the melodic connection is so strong, that it's a parallel period. And because we have the motion from tonic to dominant, and then an interruption, which starts over with phrase two, we call that an interrupted period. Overall, a parallel interrupted period. Every period will have a three-word description. The first word will be devoted to a description of the melodic relationship between the first and second phrase. The second word will be a description of the harmonic relationship, in this case that it's interrupted. And the third word will be period, the type of structure that we're looking at, parallel interrupted period. Example 15.2b, back on page 381, the first phrase ended with a half cadence. There at the beginning of the second system of example 15.2b, we end on a five chord there. And now we continue on that five chord. This is the important difference between the phrase, the period structure of example B, the Beethoven, compared with example A, the Mozart. In the Mozart, we ended with a half cadence. First phrase ends with a half cadence. Second phrase goes back to the tonic and starts all over again. Back to a B flat major triad. B, the Beethoven, first phrase ends with a half cadence. Five there in the bass, and then the second phrase continues with five in the bass. All of that still on the five chord, and then finally one. So when the first phrase ends on five and the second phrase continues on the five chord, we call that a continuous period. Because in the Beethoven, the first phrase and second phrase were rather different melodically, we call that a contrasting period. And because the harmonic motion goes to five at the end of the first phrase and then continues on the five chord, we call it a continuous period from the harmonic standpoint. And now if we look at page 382, the second box there, it says Beethoven, contrasting continuous period. Again, there's our three-word description. So the Mozart was a parallel interrupted period. The Beethoven is a contrasting continuous period. Now we're going to look at two more examples here that have different harmonic relationships between the two phrases. This gets a little bit complicated, but try your best to follow along. So we're going to look at example 15.3 and 15.4. Let's go ahead and listen to them both before we start.
15.3.
Okay, so example 15.3, still in the key of B flat. That seems to be the key of the day. Here, this is new for today's discussion. We're closing the first phrase with an authentic cadence, but notice that it's an imperfect authentic cadence with me and the soprano there. The second phrase ends with a perfect authentic cadence. 5-1 in the bass and... So, we have our period structure because the two phrases are related musically and the second one concludes more, or the second one ends more conclusively than the first one. First phrase ended with imperfect authentic cadence. Second phrase ends with perfect authentic cadence. Slight difference there, but the second phrase is definitely more conclusive because of the pack compared with the IAC. When we have two phrases that both end closed harmonically, that is, they both end on one, they both end with authentic cadence, it's as if each of those phrases creates its own section because it's closed. So each one creates a closed section, and so we use the term sectional period. So example 15.3 is an example of a sectional period. This is described just in the paragraph just below the example. Melodically speaking, you probably already figured out the first phrase and second phrase, except for the octave difference, are almost identical in their openings. And so, would these be parallel or contrasting? That's right. Obviously, they're parallel because of the extreme difference, the extreme similarity between and. So this is an example of a parallel period, and because each section is closed harmonically, it's called a parallel sectional period. Parallel sectional period. Example 15.4 key of D minor on one, ended the phrase with a cadential 6-4 to 5, so an open construction for the first phrase in the period. The second phrase also ends the second phrase ends with another perfect authentic cadence. But be careful here because this is a cadence in the key of A minor. E in the bass going way down to low A in the bass. But wait a minute, what the heck? What's going on here? We started in the key of D minor, ended with a half cadence. Then we start the second phrase in a completely different key, F major, that would be the relative major of D minor, and it ends in yet another key, the key of A minor, which would be the minor dominant of the key that we started on, which was D minor. Whoa, that's a lot to take in. The point here is that in the second phrase, and I'm reading here the paragraph at the bottom of the musical example. If two phrases have a weak, strong cadence relationship, okay, so we ended the first phrase with a half cadence, we ended the second phrase with an authentic cadence, a weak, strong cadence relationship, and there is a key change during the course of the phrases, we move from D minor and then to F major and then to A minor. Not only did we change keys once, we changed twice. If there is a key change during the course of the phrases, they form what we call a progressive period. The harmony progresses from one key to another. more and more we're going to be talking about the change of key. We started it a little bit on the last podcast with that idea of the secondary dominant or applied dominant. Now we're looking at a phrase that actually ends. We're looking at a period where it actually ends in a different key than it started in. And so get used to that, because that's really the interesting thing and very typical thing for all of tonal music, is that you start in one key, you leave that key, and then eventually you almost always come back to the original key. This clearly is not the end of this piece in this Beethoven example. So this Beethoven is an example of a progressive period, because the second phrase concluded in a different key. Is it parallel or is it contrasting? Let's look at what the melody does. And then the second phrase starts. Fairly similar, maybe not identical like it was in that Mozart example, that first one, but similar enough that we can call this parallel as opposed to contrasting. So 15.4 would be an example. If you gave the three-word description, it would be parallel progressive period. The final topic today is representing the formal structure of these periods with a diagram. I'm looking on page 384. Down towards the bottom it says, representing form, the formal diagram. I've been doing these on the board every now and then. You're probably used to these. But we're going to dig into this a little bit more specifically. And pay attention to this because, well, you always pay attention to everything, don't you? Of course you do. This is going to be required on your homework assignment that I'll be getting to in just a minute. And I know this podcast is going to go a little bit long, but there's a lot of stuff here. Representing form, the formal diagram. Diagramming the relationship of phrases visually captures the sense of how they combine to form periods. So we're looking at, if you look at 385, two diagrams there, one for Mozart and then one for Beethoven. Arcs represent phrases, and then the overarching curve that joins the two phrases into one structure indicates that the phrases combine into a single period. So you're going to have the two smaller arcs and then the one larger arc combining them. And then you can put a letter description that represents the melodic structure. So the Mozart was a parallel period, so that's why it says A and A prime. The prime indicates that the ending was slightly different, but most of it, we use the same letter A because most of the structure was similar. If it's a contrasting period, like in the Beethoven, we'll put A for the first phrase and B for the second, indicating that there's a substantial difference between the two. So for contrasting, A, B, for parallel, A prime. Then we're going to put the harmony in. And so you'll see down the next set of two diagrams, Mozart and Beethoven, will show that we'll put a Roman numeral in for the beginning of the phrase. We'll show what kind of cadence ends that phrase, and half cadence or imperfect authentic cadence or perfect authentic cadence. And then we'll also use that double slash for an interruption in the case of the Mozart. Okay? And so those diagrams there, just above where it says period label, show everything that you need to do. The overarching large curve connecting the two phrase arcs into one structure. The letter designation indicating the melodic comparison of first phrase to second phrase, A prime or A, B. And then depending on what happens, the harmonic structure using Roman numerals and phrase and cadence labels. And then finally, we will give the whole period a label, as it says here, and I mentioned already earlier, three words. The first word is the melodic relationship. The second word is the harmonic motion. And the third word identifies the structure, period. The first word will always be either parallel or contrasting. And then we have four choices that we know about from our examples today: interrupted, continuous, sectional, and progressive. So I guess it'd be a total of eight different possible periods using two different kinds of melodic structure and four different kinds of harmonic motion. Turn the page to 386 and you'll see all of those different structures with their abbreviations too, like PIP for parallel interrupted period. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do on the homework. You would probably benefit by listening to example 15.5 and 15.6 and looking at the music and then trying to determine the type of period without reading the description in the book first. See if you can identify those period structures and then read the descriptions. 15.6 is a little bit of a trick question. And then there's a good summary at the bottom of 388. Let's go ahead and listen to those two examples.
15.6.
And now go ahead and try to figure out the melodic structure, the harmonic structure, make a phrase diagram if it's a period, and then do the reading of Leitz's analysis of these. I will pause now and let you do that. And you will have noticed that the first one, the Mozart, was a parallel interrupted period. The second one, the Beethoven, was not a period at all. Trick question, because there's no cadence at the end of the first section. You can't even call it a phrase because it ends on a 2-6-5 chord. Do we know any kind of cadence that ends on a 2-6-5? No, we don't. Your homework assignment for next time will be in the workbook on page 275 and 276. I discovered that on the original PDF that I made for you for workbook examples, I forgot page 276, so I've gone back and inserted that. If you're looking at that PDF on your computer and you don't see page 276, try refreshing the page and it should be there. I'll also post the PDF of just 276 by itself. In any case, you've got three examples, A, B, and C on pages 275 and 276. Write up on a separate piece of paper with formal diagrams and labels like the ones on page 386 in your text. You should have those arches and A prime or AB and half cadence or pack and the description of parallel interrupted or parallel sectional, parallel continuous, contrasting interrupted, whatever it happens to be. Different phrase diagram and a different label for each of those three examples on 15.1. You might also listen to Desperado and tell me what the structure is of the first two phrases. comes the period. Get it?